I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we've been going verse by verse the last few weeks or the last while. And it'll be just like what we've been doing, but we'll go a little further. We'll start in verse 4 of chapter 2. And let me read for a text verse 4 down through verse 7. And then look at the doctrinal implications of what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy here in the Scriptures. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Suit a blessing to those that can hear and see this service today. Bless those and encourage the saints of God, and then, Lord, those that are not saved that may possibly hear or see, I pray, God, that they can be saved as a result of your word, the teaching and preaching of the word of God. These things I ask in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Now, we have been looking in the Scriptures, and he's telling Timothy, a young pastor, some things that he needs to be aware of, diligent of, and teaching to the people that he pastors to. Here in verse 4, he simply gives him a warning, and this is still an issue today in our society, in our culture. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, when you look at that, you may question, why would he phrase like that? No man that warreth, because he understood that the ministry is a warfare. Paul referred to it a number of times as a warfare. And he mentions here again to Timothy, you're in a warfare, it's a battle, and you're going to be battling spiritual things. You see, the warfare is not a carnal warfare, but it's a spiritual warfare. And it being a spiritual warfare, then our entanglement with spiritual things will not allow us to be involved in the world like the world gets involved in the world. And so that's what he's saying. He says, no man that warreth, referring to those people that are called of God, the ministers of God, the preachers of God, the teachers of God, the evangelists of God, the missionaries of God, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. So what are the affairs of this life? I believe he's referring to the secular section of life. He's referring to businesses, workplaces, and things that occupy people's time, especially the man of God. And I know from experience that if you are pastoring a church and you're bivocational and you have to work a full-time job and then pastor on a full-time level, it's like working two 40-hour week jobs or more, and man, it wears on you. Something is going to suffer, and especially if a man has to prepare a lesson, prepare a message, pray, visit the sick, preach the funerals, do all the things that come with being a minister, then work on the side, if you please, 40 to 50 to 60 hours a week. Something generally suffers, and what suffers is the ministry. So Paul's telling Timothy, and Paul was not above working. He was a craftsman. He had a trade. He was a tent maker, and he labored with his hands so that he would have need of nothing and that he could give. So working and laboring is not a bad thing. But when you have a church membership of over 600 people, as I believe this church does, and then you have an active membership of somewhere around 200 people, one full-time preacher can't get it all done. They just can't do it and work a full-time job. They can't even get it done when they're not working a full-time job. So it takes help. And you'll see on our staff here, we have Pastor Jeremiah, who is the actual assistant pastor at Hope Baptist Church. And he takes up a lot of the workload here in the church. You have myself. I'm an evangelist, always have been an evangelist, was called as an evangelist. So I work in the capacity of an evangelist. I travel. I hold revival meetings. I go to other churches. I'm like a missionary, and I'm everywhere, but they call me an assistant here. I'm more of an associate because my membership's here, and I work here, and I minister here. So I teach this class. I preach when the opportunity arises. So you say, why? Because Pastor Holt needs the help. That's why. It's just too much to do. And that I'm not above learning. I am a tradesman and have a trade and have retired from a trade and have always labored with my hand. But you know, this verse has always meant something to me. Not to become entangled with the affairs of this life. Not only in my work, but other things you could get involved in. I like artwork. I like paintings and drawings. And I can be involved in that and doing that and going to all the places to exhibit the artwork and get entangled into all of that. I like cars. I could get entangled with that. There's always something going on around the country on a Sunday that has to do with old cars. I like equipment, tractors and tractor pulls and all that. But you know, the minister doesn't have time to go Sunday off to the county fair or off to the all the other things and get his time occupied. I like to fish once in a while. Used to. But I can't go, everybody goes boating or fishing on Sunday. But the minister doesn't have that luxury. You say, why? It's too much entanglement in the world. So here, he tells young Timothy, no man that warreth, meaning any pastor, any preacher that works in a full-time capacity, any evangelist, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Then he goes on, and he says something else. He says that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So the good soldier of the cross is just that, given to his call. His call is simply to preach the word of God, teach the word of God. And many, so many ministers and preachers love the world and go after the world with their jobs, their careers, their hobbies, and the church will suffer for that. I've had preachers call me and ask, can you fill in for me Sunday? And I said, well, what's up? Well, I'm out of town. I said, okay, what's going on? Well, I've got to go to a ball game. You've got to go to a ball game? Well, I have tickets to a ball game. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I'm busy at my own church. There's always something to do around here when it comes to teaching and preaching. And I don't feel I'm obligated to fill your pulpit while you get entangled with the affairs of the world. And I know that's probably a little narrow, but that's exactly what Paul was telling Timothy. No man that warreth, now that means any preacher, any pastor, any evangelist, any missionary. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a good time once in a while, but when it interferes with your Sunday morning, your Sunday night, your Wednesday, your visitation, your study, your prayer time, and all those other things that a minister finds himself doing, then, my friend, you are being entangled into the world's affairs. So, pretty powerful verse of scripture here to the preacher. Today's soldiers leave home, and he likens us to a soldier in warfare. And I was in the military for 4 years, back during the Vietnam time, in 1968. I come up for draft, so I went down to find out what I could do. And they said, well, you can enlist today, 2 years active and 2 years inactive, and you can get your obligation to your country out of the way as an American citizen. And that's what I did. I enlisted. But you know what? When I enlisted, I had to leave my home. I had to leave my family. I had to leave my secular job, my work, just to be a soldier. You see, I couldn't go play softball on Saturday afternoon. I couldn't ride horses on Friday night. I couldn't go fishing on Sunday. Say why? Because I was in the Army now. And brother, when you get in the Army, you're going to do what the Army says you're going to do, and you're going to show up when you're supposed to show up. You're going to shut up when they say shut up. You're going to sound off when they say sound off. In other words, you're not going to be entangled with your old life. You've got a new life. You're a soldier now. Now, guess what? That's how it is for the man of God. People say, I don't understand it. Well, that's the teaching in the Word of God. But there are people that don't understand. And did you remember, I read the verse, he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I find out there's a lot of people that don't understand the man of God and the role God has called him to as a preacher, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, or a missionary. It's not uncommon to see a missionary leave his home, leave his family, leave the security of his church, his job, and go to a foreign field. You say, why? It's a picture of them not being involved in the affairs of this world. But yet, people don't understand it. People just can't get what the Bible says. And Paul told Timothy, teach this stuff, man. People need to hear about this, and they need to see it. So today's soldiers, just like being a soldier of the cross, leaves home, family, and he said, having left father and mother, you know, pick up your cross and follow me daily. Left a secular work, a secular education, to simply be a soldier. The preacher is the same today. That's why your pastor can't hold a 40-hour week job someplace or own and operate a business somewhere and still do the things that God has called him to do. Something will suffer. And let me assure you, it won't be the work. It won't be the job. It won't be the hobby. It'll be the ministry. And hence, there's a whole horde of preachers out there today and pastors out there today that do not live like the New Testament tells them to live. And then he says that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Now, that part of the verse lends itself to the fact that God chooses, if you please, the man of God. And people all the time, they say, well, I don't know if I believe in the call the mystical call of God to the ministry. Let me say this today. I believe in the call. You say, why? Because right here, it says that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Who do you think chose pastors, preachers, evangelists, teachers, as the catalog goes there in Ephesians chapter 4? I'll tell you who. God himself. He's still on the throne. He still calls men for the service of God. Men just don't hear it as well as they used to. Hear now in the scriptures that he may please him, and that be God, please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God called me to preach in 1975. In 1975, I was at Little Ranch Road Baptist Church on Little Ranch Road, Brooksville, Florida. I lived in Florida. You know, I thought, boy, this is it. This is where y'all live. And that's where I live. And I got into church. I'd gotten saved in 1962, so I'd been saved a long while. And then God called me to preach when I was 25 years old. So I thank God for the calling, because I've never had to look over my shoulder and say, well, you picked this to do. No, I didn't pick it. God chose it for me, and I just simply surrendered to the call and have given myself to the ministering of the Word of God, the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And I find, oh, so often, so many people, saved people, just don't understand the call of God or the man of God. Now, I'll try to broaden my thought on that in just a moment, but let me say this. The chosen soldier, he is called to it. So he comes out from the world. A lot of times he won't get a secular education. He'll get a Bible education, and he'll go to a Bible college someplace, and he'll learn the things of God and about the things of God. He'll leave his old job. He'll leave his old life that he might be wholly given to the things of God or the ministry of God. You say, why? For the sheep and to please God. You see, the sheep, everybody doesn't get called. So someone has to look out for the people of God. And that's why God called the men of God. And so Paul's teaching Timothy about his call here. Another thought, verse 5. If a man strive for masteries, and we're told that this is a race, not only is it a warfare, but we're taught by the book of Hebrews, it's a race, and we're to run this race with patience, and we're striving for the masteries. We're striving to do it right to the best of our abilities, to leave no stone unturned, if you please, to win a crown one of these days. So if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Could I say this morning? I believe there's a whole horde of ministers around our country today that do not strive lawfully for the things of God. They've implied every hook or crook. They've incorporated every worldly way. When you hear them preach or teach, they sound like a TV comedian instead of an old-fashioned preacher of the Word of God. So what are you saying, preacher? Paul is teaching young Timothy that, look, you're to strive for the mastery. In other words, become a master at what you do. Be a good teacher of the Word of God. Be a good preacher of the Word of God. If you're called to handle the Word of God as a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, then be the best you can at that, because you have to strive lawfully, and that would be biblically lawfully if you want to win a crown. So, well, when will I get the crown? Well, the songwriter said, we'll receive a crown one day. And I believe for the child of God, it'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. So here, but there'll be plenty that did it their way. They manipulated people. They sugarcoated and fluffed it up in such a way that it was appealing to the sick, the lost, and the sick never get healed, and the lost never get saved. But you see, that's okay with the hireling. He's just there for the money. He's just there for the standing. He's just there for the pat on the back. He's not there for God. And if God ever did call him, he's got the thing wrong and needs to straighten it out, and he needs to strive for the mastery like Paul teaches young Timothy here as he begins to pastor in Ephesus. So the beginning, this being the man of God, the pastor, and I keep saying that because people get all confused and say, well, we're all the same. We're all... No, some men are called to the Word of God and preaching, and some men are not called. And I make that distinction. There is a difference. Doesn't mean one man's better in a sense than another man. We're all human beings. We all have a body of flesh. But when God calls a man, and that man listens to the call of God and tries to walk by the Word of God and do what this book says, he will be different than other men. And too many preachers and too many pastors and too many evangelists and missionaries, they just want to fit in with the crowd. They want to be one of the boys. They don't want to be separated. They don't want to walk godly and live a holy life. They want to be like the world. And so they get entangled with their hobbies and their skills and their talents and their jobs. And then the ministry suffers as a result. The people of God suffer as a result of having a hireling for a pastor. Now watch. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Lawfully. Or, if you please, God's biblical way. When he says lawfully, he's not talking about the law of God as the Ten Commandments. He's simply talking about lining up to the Word of God, the doctrines of the Word of God, which is simply a legal aspect in the presence of God. This is when you step into that presence, you want to be pleasing to God, having striven lawfully, not the way of the world or the ways of man, not your way, not what you prefer. It is said to be unlawful if you're doing just what you want to do and not what the Bible says. No reward is given to those that do it their way. The world's way, or any other way, in spite of what God said. Oh, that's just what you guys, you're too fundamental. You Bible-believing King James 1611 people are just too narrow here. No, I don't think we're too narrow here. I think we're just humbly trying to point up the truth. And when you point up the truth, it exposes the error. And that's how God set the thing up. So, verse 6, he continues the thought for the man of God. He says in verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth. Now that husbandman is the preacher. That's the pastor, even the assistant pastor. In my case, the associate pastor, the evangelist, that's full time. And guess what? Paul was a traveler. He was considered an evangelist, and this even applies to him. Watch, he says, the husbandman that laboreth, and he speaks of laboring among the flock, must be first partaker of the fruits. You say, okay, what's the fruits? The fruits in this case are his means to support himself. Because he just said, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, he's a soldier in God's army. He's going to have to be supported by the people of God. You say, oh, I don't know, preacher. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. Verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding. Now, in all things, a lot of folks don't understand what Paul's teaching Timothy here, and what Timothy's going to have to teach to all the people of God. Because he's going to teach about how the man of God is taken care of. You know what? A lot of so-called Christians don't get this. They don't understand it. Oh, they got a little knowledge. They think they have a little wisdom, but I know their wisdom's vain because they don't have understanding. So the threesome there is knowledge or wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If you say, well, I got a little wisdom, I got a little knowledge, be careful. If you don't have the understanding, the Bible said knowledge puffeth up. You'll think you're somebody, but because you don't understand what he's saying, you cause more hardship and more trouble in the church you attend than you will help. Amen. That's good teaching, Brother Phil. So he says the husbandman or the pastor, the assistant pastor, the associate pastor, and in our case, we've got a pretty large church as far as rural communities are concerned. He says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Do you know what? You get a lot of opposition from the so-called brethren today when you say, well, we want to help out the preacher, or we want to help out the assistant, or we want to help out the missionary that's coming through, or the evangelist. And you know what some so-called spiritual people will say? Let him go get a job. Let him work. Paul made tents. Let him go do that. But he shouldn't have to do that if the people of God can help him. And I'm looking here. If you want a cross-reference to this, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And the Apostle Paul clearly teaches this in the other epistles that he has written. And it's to the church. So the church needs to set up and pay attention. Deacons need to pay attention. Leaders in the church need to pay attention. Trustees need to pay attention. You say, why? Because we're talking about the man of God and how God takes care of the preachers in the church. In 1 Corinthians 9, you want verse 7 down through about verse 14. Watch what he says. And the Apostle Paul is teaching this carnal church in Corinth. The Corinthian church was carnal. It's kind of like the average independent Baptist church today. Pretty carnal. You say, how do you know that? Because people just don't get the teaching on the Word of God. They don't understand it the way the Scripture comes across it. Oh, they have their idea. They have how they were taught when they were back home. But they don't get a hold of what the Word of God says. Now watch what he says. Who goeth a warfare? Here we go. Same kind of wording. And that warfare has to do with the ministry. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charge? You notice that's a question. If you were a soldier, as I was in the army, one thing I found out is when I became a soldier, they paid me. Every month, I got a paycheck. I got money. Now, it wasn't very much, but it was enough to get me by because they were already clothing me, housing me, feeding me, training me. And so, in my case, the money I got, I sent home to my wife, which is really not much, but at least they paid me. Oh, I'll look at the text. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charge? Could I say the answer to that thing is nobody does. You don't have many volunteers doing that. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? The implied answer to that is nobody. Now, look, a lot of you are getting your garden space ready because you don't know what this pandemic's going to turn into. Hopefully it'll pass in a few days, in a few weeks, and we'll move on. But it's made you rethink your gardening skills. So you've already turned the soil over and are getting ready to start planting tomatoes and potatoes and beans and all the other things that you know you'll be able to eat of. You show me somebody that stirs up a garden and puts his money in it, his sweat in it, his labor in it, and puts all the fertilizer on it. He toils in it, he labors in it, and then he won't eat of it. And I'll show you somebody that don't understand what raising food's about. You raise tomatoes because you want to eat them. You raise green beans because you want to eat them. You raise sweet corn because you want to eat it. And so Paul is making clearly good sense. He says, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? So the farmer tills the soil and he eats by what he tills and toils. Watch. Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Implied answer, nobody. If you've got cattle, you eat beef and you drink milk. Amen. If you have hogs, you eat pork and you sell pork. And your livelihood is pork. You don't raise cattle or pork or chickens or any other animal just for the fun of it. So, don't tell me you don't get it. Don't tell me you don't understand it. Because it is understandable. You can get it if you want to get it. Watch. He says, say I these things as a man? Absolutely. Or saith not the law the same also? Absolutely. The law of God, the first five books of the Bible that Moses penned down, say the same thing. God is very consistent in his principles about taking care of the man of God. Watch. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now, I'm reading this out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, 8, and 9. But Paul's getting it out of the law of God and said, God wrote this down, don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. You say, why? Because that oxen needs to eat of that corn. It's a principle. It's a lesson on taking care of the man of God. Watch, doth God take care for oxen? People say, well, yeah. No. The answer is no. God didn't take care for that ox. The man that owns the ox, it's his responsibility to see that the ox is stalled and see that the ox is fed and see that the ox is taken care of. And a lot of people, they'll look at this and say, oh, no, yeah, God takes care of it. No, he doesn't parachute money down out of heaven for the man of God. The money comes from the flock of God. Amen. Watch now. Verse 10, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Well, he did say it for our sakes, so we to understand the principle of God. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, absolutely, that he that ploweth, that's the preacher, should plow in hope. You know, I minister in hope. I preach in hope. You say, why? Because I know God will allow the people of God to take care of me. And watch, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. I know when I minister spiritual things, carnal things will be ministered back into me. That's a real hard thing for a hillbilly to get. But if this hillbilly can get it, then everybody ought to be able to get it. You might have to swallow some hillbilly pride when somebody hands you a $50 bill or a $10 bill or a $5 bill or a $100 bill, but swallow your pride and let God's people take care of the man of God. That's what he's teaching. Now watch. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, that's what I'm doing this morning, sowing spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now, I may not have time to work a secular job. I have a funeral to preach Tuesday, so I can't take off my job. I'm retired, so I wouldn't, and go preach a funeral. Say, well, who takes care of you? Well, God will have to see that the church of God takes care of the man of God. That's how it works. Oh, I just don't get that. I just don't understand that. Then there's something wrong with your spiritual thinking and your biblical reasoning. Something clearly wrong. You just don't understand what the clear English says in the King James Bible. Watch. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? And Paul was. He wasn't their pastor. He was an evangelist. But you know, when you get in a church as an evangelist, the last person the church ever wants to help is the evangelist or the assistant pastor. You say, what's wrong with them? They don't understand the teaching of the Word of God. Watch. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Could I say this? Most of my life, I've dealt with small congregations and small struggling churches as an evangelist to help them find a pastor or stay with them until they learn something. And most of that time, I would almost say 95% of that time, maybe 98% of that time, I have never been paid for what I did. Say, what did you do? I did what Paul did. I had a job. I worked as a construction worker. I have a skilled trade. I am a plasterer by trade. And so I worked at plastering and working that I could give to the poor church and the struggling church who was failing because they had no preacher. Maybe they had a hireling for a pastor before, and it tore the church up. And I was there to mend it up and to love it and to build it up. So I labored with my hands and gave to the very church that should have been ministering to the man of God. So there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not hurt by that. I'm not angry about that. I'm just telling you how it is. So when I see people say, oh, you don't want to pay that preacher anymore, I know there's something wrong with their thinking. Somewhere, somebody has taught them wrong, and they don't understand the Word of God. Watch. He says, nevertheless, we have not used this power, and it is a power. Paul didn't use it, but suffered all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? That's just plain, good old-fashioned teaching from the Old Testament, and it's applicable to the New Testament, and that's a question. Don't you know this stuff? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But then, well, consider verse 7. He says, consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding. I pray that anybody that can hear this today would receive some understanding when it comes to these lessons on giving to the man of God. He said, now, a lot of Christians in the church do not understand these things. Now, I stated a cold, hard fact, especially when it comes to paying of a preacher. And you'll find people, they'll pay singers, they'll pay of people for a skit or an act. They'll pay for ball games. They'll pay for bicycles and fishing poles and activities and cookouts. But when it comes time to pay the man of God, they don't think you ought to have to pay the preacher. There's a problem with that kind of carnal thinking. So some think he's paid too much. Have you ever heard that? I've been here in this church and I've heard people say, we pay Pastor Tom way too much money. Let me stop. Now, I'm third party here. Pastor's not in today. So I can get away with this. They do not pay the pastor too much because you don't know what he gives back. And if you've got the real man of God, you can't pay him too much because he'll always give back more than the average Joe or the average sister sitting in the car. Amen. Now that's a mouthful, but you got it straight from the horse's mouth. Some think he's paid too much. Others think he shouldn't be paid at all. While some just don't know what to think about it all. They'll throw their hands up and say, well, I don't know, but we sure don't have much money around here to be paying the likes of some sorry preacher or pastor. Now that's carnal thinking. That's worldly thinking. You'll spend $100 to go to a baseball game or a Bengals game, but you won't pay the preacher. What's wrong with that? So if you have a problem in church, it will always be over the money and who gets paid. Amen, Brother Phil. You're teaching today. You realize Judas, who was with the 12, was always worried about the money. And he was a betrayer. And he really wasn't with God, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, he was there and he received the commissions like everybody else. But man, he was worried about the purse. So when somebody pipes up and is always worried about the purse, I know they think more along the lines of a secular thinking than they do a spiritual thinking. Because this battle we're in is a spiritual warfare. And the last time I checked, my God still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And it's a mighty poor God that can't afford a preacher a steak once in a while. Say amen. If the called preacher is teaching, preaching, pastoring, then the bottom line is he should be paid a livable wage. So God does have a financial plan for taking care of the preacher. Most just don't understand it or simply disagree with it in some way and just throw their hands up and say, well, I haven't come to a real conclusion on that yet. Let me help you. Get out of the way and let the people of God support the men of God that are doing the work of God. Now, I didn't want this to be in the form of a message today. I wanted it to be in the form of a lesson. I think I went slow enough that people ought to be able to get this and possibly tune it back in and listen again. But not being the pastor here, I can teach on these things with authority because the Word of God backs it up. All pastors are a little skeptical about teaching and preaching on money, but I'm not. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt for it. You ought to be trying to pay the man of God. Amen. Let's pray and close this lesson out. Father, thank you for today. Thank you how you are able to take care of the men of God, regardless sometimes of what the people should think or say, or some lack of understanding or wisdom or knowledge. And you're a good God, a gracious God, and Lord, you've always taken care of me, and I praise you for it today in an open way, and I give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, and God bless you.